have some more monitor, please. Come on, let's put them together and open our mouths. Give God some high praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. What a great meeting we've been in. And I don't want to be redundant here tonight because it's been said many times. But this has been an amazingly dovetailed meeting. Undeniably, the Holy Ghost has given us a theme here this week. If you don't leave here encouraged, you A, weren't listening, or B, as it says of Jacob, he refused to be comforted. Jacob's children tried to comfort him in his hour of distress, but the Bible says he refused to be comforted. You're in bad shape when God tries to help you and you reject that comfort. And if you walk out of here the same way you came, you blew it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preach it, brother. All right. Praise God. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells us God gave the children of Israel some instruction. I see a lot of people waving. You're warm out there, aren't you? Can we get some air? Somebody, is that all right? Can I ask for the air conditioning to be turned on? That's it, right there? We need to take another offering here. Amen. And the scripture is very plain to the children of Israel, where God gave them instructions when they came to the house of God to worship. He said, when you come to the house of God to worship, somebody shout, worship. Now, just coming to the house of God isn't enough. You got to come to worship. He said, and now when you come to worship, if you come in the north gate, you need to go out the south gate. Or if you come in the south gate, you had to leave from the north gate. He said, and the prince will be in the midst of thee when you worship. It did not matter which gate you came in, but what was very important was which gate you went out. That you literally had to walk out the opposite way that you came in. God didn't want them coming to the house of God from one door and go out the same door that they came in. He wanted them to go out another way. Whenever we come to the house of God to worship, something ought to happen while we're there. That regardless of what gate we came in, we go out a different way than the way that we came in. How many are going to go out a different gate than you came into this meeting? If that's true, you ought to be very thankful that the Prince has been in our midst these last few nights and days. How many is glad the Lord has blessed you in a way where you're going to go out another gate? Let's give Him high praise for that, because He's worthy. Thank you for speaking to us, God. Thank you for blessing us and helping us. Amen. Thank you so much, the steering committee, for allowing me to be back. And appreciate Brother Strop, your district superintendent, and these other superintendents, Brother Colfart, Brother Jordan, and our brother from Alaska, Blackshear. Thank you. Good to see you, Brother Manning. God bless. And it's good to be in the house of God. Thank you, Brother Mooney, for being the man that you are. And appreciate you so very, very much. I mean, appreciate Brother Mooney tonight. Amen. Sounds like a few people, doesn't it? Amen. You know, I recently joined Weight Watchers, not because I needed to, but because I just was doing some research. And I found out, you know, every diet that you ever go on, they're always going to tell you you got to drink lots of water. I thought it was just to make you go to the bathroom a lot, but there's more to it than that. Excuse me. I'm thirsty. Anybody else thirsty tonight?
You're thirsty, wait. Let me help you.
Aquafina. Cool. Did you feel better watching me drink tonight? That help you out? Well, did you ever hear somebody say, well, I get my blessing watching somebody else shout? Wasn't it cute the way Sister So-and-so took off tonight? And you know what? If you're going to get a blessing, you're not going to get it watching somebody else get a drink of water. You're going to have to get it for yourself. And if you don't, you're going to go out the same way you went in. Somebody ought to just shout hallelujah right now. Praise. So they told me at Weight Watchers, it motivated me, because just because they make you go to the bathroom a lot was not sufficient motivation to make me drink gallons of water. It takes up a lot of time and everything. But they told me that if you're 3%, just 3% dehydrated, it slows your metabolism down. And you don't have the energy that you would have if you had not been dehydrated. And you don't lose weight as well, and your body doesn't work as efficiently, just 3% dehydrated. Just from not drinking enough water. Amen. They told me several things, or they did some more research on it. They said, don't substitute water with caffeine or tea or coffee, because the caffeine will slow your metabolism down. And you can't substitute for water and try to get your refreshment from some other place. You got to drink water. They also said that you need to take frequent water breaks, particularly if you're doing heavy exercise, which I've never had a problem with that. Profiteth little. Why fool with it? Feel something there. But the more strenuous bodily exercise you're doing, the more water breaks you ought to take. It says in the research that I read that you need to start and end your day drinking water. Start off drinking water. End drinking water. Frequent water breaks. Don't substitute. And did you know that the lack of water hinders if you don't have enough water? That's amazing what water does. You know, your brain is like 75% water. And your liver is 75% water. Your blood is 85% water. And your whole body is about 70% water. And if you're down on water, it don't work right. Found out. Matter of fact, if you're a little dehydrated, it hinders your electrical impulses, and the electrolytes in your body are diminished if you don't drink enough water. And then your body, your brain, and your mind can't function correctly. And they've determined that degenerative diseases and neurological illnesses can be caused or corrected by just drinking more water. They say ADD has its root problem in people not drinking enough water. They'll drink Cokes, Pepsi, blah, 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 but not water. Chronic fatigue syndrome, anxiety, depression, Alzheimer's can be corrected by just drinking more water. Listen to these physical effects. A lack of water. I'm going to make you good Weight Watcher people. Lack of water can cause headaches, hypertension, back pain. How can lack of water cause back pain? The discs in your back are full of water, and it causes them to function properly. You don't drink enough water, your discs are going to be dehydrated, and you're going to have back pain. That's amazing, isn't it? Arthritis, ulcers, asthma, fatigue, the blahs, lack of water. Morning sickness also can be corrected. So I hear. Never experienced it. But the reason is when you go to bed at night, dear ladies, you go for a long period of time without drinking water, and your body draws its moisture for the fetus in the womb because that fetus lives in a water world. And when you don't drink water all night long, your body draws the moisture and takes it for your baby's sake, and that leaves you feeling nauseated and exhausted in the morning. That's why it's morning sickness. So you need to get up every hour or so and drink some more water. You might as well get used to it, because when the baby comes, you're going to be getting up several times a night anyway. So I could not help but see the parallel. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 12 that with joy we're going to draw out of the wells of salvation. Jesus told us that His Spirit would be like a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. We're told in the book of Revelation that whosoever would, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. And I got to seeing all these problems, ADD, chronic fatigue, anxiety, depression, all from a lack of water. Take frequent water breaks. I wonder if we got as many problems as we do in our churches and spiritually. Fatigue, depression, discouragement, all kinds of headaches and difficulties, simply because we don't drink enough water. When we jump out of bed and hit our day and don't start our day with the refreshing presence of God, and we walk out into our day spiritually dehydrated, we're not going to function very well. And we go to bed without drinking water, and our body's depleted, and we get up and we're fatigued. I'm talking about spiritually. Or we come to the house of God and the water's flowing, but we're just in the little sips. Oops. Had to get a drink of water. Amen. And brother, for the last couple of months, I've been drinking so much water, you can't even believe how much water I've been drinking, because I want to lose some weight. But I'll tell you what, it bothers me when I see people in my church and the water is flowing, but they just sit there and watch everybody else drink. And then they wonder why they got family problems, spiritual problems, financial problems. If they just drink a little bit more water, there's no telling what can happen. There's people in this room. You've been here all three nights. You've been here both days, but you still haven't got a breakthrough in your life because you've been watching everybody else drink some water, and God wants you to take a chug of luck tonight and get you some good Holy Ghost water. Now, how do we do that? We don't do it by thinking about it. No, sir. But there's something that begins to happen when we really cut loose and worship God. And by that, I don't mean necessarily running or dancing or shouting. I mean just focusing on Jesus and giving praise and giving glory beyond our 20-second limit, and just get into a dimension and start drinking in His presence. And the more you worship Him, the more water you're going to be ingesting, the better your electrolytes are going to work, your headaches are going to go away, your arthritis and stiffness is going to go away, your depression is going to go away, you're going to get joy in the presence of the Lord. We just need to take frequent water breaks. Let's take a water break right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take a water break. Jesus, Jesus. Would you look over, reach over to your neighbor, put your hand on her shoulder, and ask God to just bless them with a spiritual blessing here tonight. Would you do that? Everybody lift up holy hands. Come on, let's draw out. Draw out. Take a drink. Everybody praise Him in tongues for a little bit. If you got the Holy Ghost, just let it flow.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 with joy, it shall be a well in you, springing up, springing up. Come on, drink it up. Where it starts to spring up, it's drink and drink and drink. Just being in His presence will fix so many things. Just drinking in His presence will fix so many things. In a high praise atmosphere, bodies can be healed. And in a high praise atmosphere, oppression can be broken. In a high praise atmosphere, God can change your heart, your thinking in just a moment, and give you a fresh beginning. It's amazing what happens when we drink more water. Start your day. End your day. Let's go to the Word of God tonight. In 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to greet my daughter Joy, Emma, Lewis, and Brad. My daughter and her children and her husband in San Francisco. Praise the Lord. Love you. By the way of the World Wide Web. Bless you. Anybody at Christian Life Center that may be watching here tonight, God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. 2 Kings chapter 13. We're going to read starting at verse 14. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And I want you to notice that he gave a prophecy here at the end of verse 17. Thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Not maybe, not hopefully. Thou shalt have absolute, total victory. That sounds like something I want. How many want absolute total victory in your city? You want absolute total victory and revival? Somebody shout amen if you want that. Because if you don't, this sermon ain't going to help you one little bit. But I want it. Praise God. And then in verse 18, he said, Elisha said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed or stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now, due to your poor response, Now thou shalt smite Syria thrice. 2 verses earlier, he said it's a done deal. 1 verse later, he lost the promise. And you see that fulfilled in the last verse of that chapter, verse 25. You see it fulfilled. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. You're going to destroy them or smite them thrice? Verse 19, we see it fulfilled in verse 25. Just three victories. Two more quick scriptures. If you would go with me to Colossians, I believe that's going to be on the screen here for you in just a second. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. If you don't have it, just look to the screen. Verse 23 says, "And whatsoever," everybody say whatsoever, "whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Do it heartily. Somebody shout heartily. That means with some zip. That means with your whole heart, with some passion. Do it like you mean it. Do it like it matters. As to the Lord and not to men. I got one more in the book of Isaiah. Then you'll be seated. Isaiah chapter 37. It's on the screen if you want to just look straight at it. Like you follow this very closely. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it. And what he had heard were threats from Sennacherib that he was going to destroy Israel, and he mocked their God, and he just heard the message, Hezekiah. He was outnumbered, outmanned. It was a bad day. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent or tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Good thing to do. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, listen to this close, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." That's a bad place to be. It's time to give birth, but they don't have the strength to bring it forth. I just want to preach for a few minutes. Probably won't be a few minutes, but that's what I want to do. Amen. A few arrows, too short. A few arrows, too short. How many don't want to come short? Amen. I want to greet Leah Matthews from our church, Christian Life Center. Sister Ellinger, wherever she is, she's one of our neighboring churches. Good to see you. How many believe God's a great God? Yes. Pastor?
Lord Jesus, touch our hearts, our minds, our souls to respond to the Word of God. Give strength to our good preacher here tonight and help him to be used of your Spirit to talk and speak to our hearts under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, say, "Don't be short tonight." I wasn't talking about how long I preach. I was talking about too many arrows, too short. Amen. I put out a weekly devotional, an email devotional, if you'd be interested. It's sermons and Bible studies and inspirational thoughts. I've got some registration forms here if you'd like to receive a weekly devotional Bible study. It's called Fruit from the Vine, or you can call our office and ask for it. Be happy to help you with that, as I've really enjoyed doing that. What a fantastic story. A moment that was pregnant with possibility. The Syrians had been plaguing Joash's kingdom for quite some time. Marauding bands of Syrians would break into the land of Israel and would pillage their villages and their towns and cause tremendous hassle. And Joash is faced with this responsibility to somehow overcome these Syrians and take care of this dilemma.
And the Syrians are mounting an affect, and there's hostility as it was then, so it is today. Hostility between the Syrians and Israel. There was a lot of pressure on Joash to solve this problem. Simultaneously, Elisha, that great prophet that followed Elijah, that double portion prophet, is ready to die. And Joash does a very unusual thing. It was quite unusual for kings to visit prophets. It was much more normal for prophets to visit kings. But Joash obviously had fine feeling for him, and he went to visit him in his sickbed as just before he died. And Joash spoke those words to Elisha that Elisha had spoken to Elijah when the chariots had come to take Elijah out. And he said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof," signifying he was about to die. Now, the chariots didn't come as he did with Elijah, but he was talking about him getting ready to go into eternity. He was on the verge of death. And something came over this weak, hurting, elderly prophet. An electricity filled the air. The presence of God began to electrify the moment. And Elisha revived. And that spirit of prophecy got on him. And he spoke to Joash. And he said, "Take the bows and arrows." Something was about to happen. Suddenly everybody sits up and the attention is quickly gained. And this became more than just a farewell to a friend or a comforting prayer at a difficult moment. Suddenly the spirit of prophecy was in the air. "Take the bow and arrows." Likely he turned to his servant, an armor bearer, and took his bow and his arrow in obedience to the prophet. You know the story, and the prophet goes on and tells the king, "Put your hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands, signifying that God is going to work with him and through him and enable him to get the victory and to gain the victory that needed to be gained. He then said, "Open the window eastward," which was where Aphek was, which is where the Syrians were. And they opened the window, and Elisha told him to shoot, and he shot. And out that window went that arrow toward the enemy, symbolizing victory, symbolizing the defeat of the Syrians. And this is what the prophet said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria." This is a significant moment, Joash, that as you shot that arrow symbolically, it became a definition of what's about to happen, that you are going to gain victory. You're going to gain deliverance. You're going to smite the Syrians in this prophetic moment. He goes on to say, and you're going to smite them till thou have consumed them. It's not going to be a half victory. It's not going to be a one-third victory. It's not going to be just a little bit of victory. You're going to get ultimate and total victory over the enemy. But the moment continued, and it took on another step. And Elisha said in verse 18, "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground," and he smote thrice and stayed or stopped. Something changed. The atmosphere went from positive, spiritual uplift and blessing to dark anger. For the Bible says of Elisha that he was wroth with him. He just wasn't mildly irritated. He wasn't just just a little put out. He was furious. Because in that moment, in that brief moment when he was to be smiting the ground, Elisha was totally angry with his response and said, "You should have smitten 5 or 6 times. And then thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria the thrice." And we saw that fulfilled. It could have been absolute total. It could have been a total consuming. It could have been an awesome victory. And Elisha was so angry because God was handing to Joash on a silver platter what he needed and what all of Israel needed. But his poor response negated the possibility and negated the prophecy. And what could have been only became a mere trifle of what God really wanted, because so much hung on Joash's response to the moment. Because just because there was a prophetic word that victory was going to come, so much depended upon the response of the king to that prophecy. God did the promising, but Joash was supposed to do the responding. And the response did not match the moment. And the moment was lost forever because of his response. That almost doesn't seem fair, does it? Because Elisha did not tell him, smite 5 or 6 times. He just said, smite the ground. I personally believe that it was implied to smite the ground until you run out of arrows. Now, there's 2 schools of thought on what it meant to smite the ground. One school of thought is that he took all of the arrows in his hand and was to beat the ground with those arrows. The other school of thought is, since he had shot that arrow out the window, that smite the ground would mean to shoot more arrows out that window and they would land on the ground, smite the ground. It really doesn't matter which school of thought that you buy into. Like a lot of things, don't matter exactly which school of thought you buy into. But what was absolutely certain, whether it was shoot the arrows out the window or beat them on the ground, the implication was shoot and keep shooting till you've got nothing left to shoot. Or beat until the arrows are busted up and you got nothing left to hit it with. Just smite the ground. I personally believe that the implication was strong in that electric prophetic moment that it was not time for a weak response. It was not time for a lukewarm response. And it wasn't an unfair thing. There was that moment of zeal and that moment of passion that comes on a man of God and a servant of God. When that anointing comes, it stirs us deep. Amen. It was there in the atmosphere. It was time for Joash to step up to the plate and ratchet up his passion a little bit and get excited and get moved and get passionate about what God was going to do for him. But because of his lukewarm response to the moment, the possibility that was right in his lap escaped from him. And there was no second chance. There was no, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't get the point." There was no, "Gee, I didn't realize how important of a moment it was. Can I do that again? Can I get a makeup test?" It was over. Because that second request of Elisha was a test, and Joash did not know he was taking a test. Whenever God tests us, anybody here tonight? Whenever God tests us, Let me ask you, in the school here, Leah, let me ask you. I remember when I went to school, Charlie Mahaney said the only thing that separated him from college was high school. And that's sort of like that for me. But here at Indiana Bible College, you take the course and then you take the test. Is that how it works? You take the course, then you take the test. All right. That's how it was when I went to school. But in the kingdom of God, it's not that way. You take the test, then you take the course. And you don't know you're taking a test till you're out on question 75. And it dawns on you, hey, I'm being tested here. And I'm failing. And God says, you're right. On both counts. Then you take the course. Because in order to get the true results of your heart, God never tells you when you're in a test. He just thinks stuff's happening. And then suddenly in the middle of it, you realize, you know what? I'm not handling this very good. I'm being tested here. I'm in a moment that I didn't grasp. I'm in a moment I did not understand. And while I was grumbling and complaining and getting, agitated and frustrated, the whole time God was standing there with a clipboard. F, 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 F. And I wonder how many times I've missed an opportunity or missed a blessing because I didn't respond right to a moment that had potential. And I did not realize how important that moment was. And somehow it slipped away from me. I don't want to get too spiritual here tonight, you know, but it seems like to me, these last 3 nights and 2 days have been a prophetic moment. The electricity, if you will, supercharged the hearers and the listeners. And you can be a hearer, but not a listener. But a listener that can hear more than the voice of a man, but can hear the voice of God through the man. Receive the word. And that word is, be encouraged. Everything's okay. Business as usual. Don't stop. Here's a branch with berries on it. Here's a portion that'll help you go a little bit farther. And everything's going to be all right. Press on. And what's the other thing he did? Feeble knees and whatever. Amen. Be strong. And I'm leaving here encouraged. If you're going to leave here encouraged, would you shout amen here tonight? Amen. But we must leave here more than just encouraged. Bringing us back to zero. From minus 10 back to zero. If all we do is leave here encouraged, we did not get the full benefit of the moment that we're sitting here in tonight. We've got to go more than just feeling better. You know what? We have learned and we have lived where we just get to feel better. Oh, shoo, I'm okay. Feel better. But nothing really changes. The same old, same old. We got to do more than just get better. We need to get aggressive. I was afraid that'd fall flat. We need to do more than just feel better. We need to get militant. We need to get stirred. We need to realize, hey, I've been healed, and now it's time to go back to the battle. We need to do more than just smite the ground 3 feeble times. It's time to step up to the plate. Somebody in here, you're in a moment. Something is ready to burst out in your life. But you got to do more than just say, I feel better. You're going to have to let something stir up in you that will take you to the next level. That will cause a breakthrough in your ministry. I don't want to just feel better and be in the same place I was. I want to feel better. But I want to go to a better place. I want to go to a deeper place. I want to go to a more anointed place. I want some victory in my life. I want some powerful victory over the demons in my city. I want some victory over the devils that hinder my saints. I want to put an end to a spirit of harassment that breaks through the borders and causes problems. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to worship more. I'm going to fast more. Come on, Joash. You're in a moment. you do with it is going to determine your destiny. Why don't we clap our hands and shout truly with a voice of triumph here tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. You may be seated. We're not just in a moment here tonight, but we're also in a moment of time in the church age. We're here in a moment where God is setting the stage for a great apostolic revival. It's been promised the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former. We've always believed, and I still do, that there are many applications to that, but one of them is at the end time latter house. The glory of the end time latter house has a potential to be more glorious than the former house. I believe it. We haven't seen what we really want to see yet. We're working our way there. We're inching forward. It's a struggle all the way. But I don't want to lose my zeal now. It's not time to quit trying now. It's not time to get passive now. It's not time to say whatever now. It's time to smite again. And then smite again. And then smite again. Because just because it was prophesied does not mean it's necessarily going to come to pass in your life. It's how you respond to it that's going to make the difference. If you just respond lukewarm and passive and uncaring and so what, you're not going to get the victory that God really wanted for your life. Oh, my Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise Him with a loud voice, everybody in the house. Jesus' name. I believe it's Satan's business to cause us to get weary in well-doing. Somebody say amen every once in a while, wouldn't you? I believe it's Satan's business to weary us down. Daniel said it, that he will wear out the saints. Just wear you down. He's not going to get you to backslide and strive. You're not going to go smoke cigarettes and go drinking and do something stupid. Amen. But if Satan can just neutralize you, if he can rob your zeal, rob your determination, rob your passion and just leave you sort of an empty hulk of humanness. No zip, no zeal, no prayer, no desire, no fire. He's satisfied just to neutralize you. The word wear out there comes from a Hebrew word which means to afflict the mind. He's constantly sending fiery darts to our minds. You can't do it. It isn't going to happen. We don't talk about it. We always tell our brothers we're doing great. But underneath all that, there's a constant barrage. You're not going to build that building. Your church isn't going to grow. You're not going to have a breakthrough. And his whole design is to get you to sit down and accept that fact. And you've smoked 3 times. My God, I've tried. I've worked hard. It isn't happening yet, and I guess it's just not going to happen, and accept something less than what God really wants in your life. Bible tells us that through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. Pressure. The word tribulation means pressure. The other day when I was flying here, I looked in the USA Today, and they had a article. Isn't it amazing how they quote celebrities and athletes? And man, suddenly you've been a celebrity. You know everything about abortion and gay rights and everything. You're not, that doesn't make him an expert on anything. But this is an interview with Warren Sapp, who's a football player with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he quotes his coach as saying these words. He said, "You don't feel pressure. You apply it. You don't feel pressure. You apply it." And he's talking about not being intimidated by the lineman on the other side of the line. Don't feel pressure from him. Apply pressure to him. Take that pressure and turn it around. And instead of feeling under the pressure, apply the pressure. Just the other, we've been in a real revival spirit. We've had 64 received the Holy Ghost since the 1st of May. And almost that many baptized. Matter of fact, last night during the service, they prayed 5 more through to the Holy Ghost in our midweek service. And baptized a bunch. And we're in a move right now. I'm excited about it. Miracles are happening. Good things are happening. Backsliders are coming back. On top of that, there's probably been 15 backsliders that have renewed themselves in the Holy Ghost over the last. We've been praying over backsliders. Believe it. Hey, listen, when a backslider comes in, don't say, "Where you been? Well, good to see you." How about saying, "I love you. Thank you for being here. We're glad to have you." There's a whole revival of backsliders out there. They don't forget the signs of the times. They know what's going on. And down deep on the inside, God is speaking to the prodigals in our hour. And He's saying, "Come on home. Come on home. Come on home." And that's one reason why the devil's trying to wear you out and wear you down. He can't get you to backslide. He can't get you to give up on God. But if he can get you to quit shooting, if he can get you to quit smiting, amen, you won't have everything that God wants you to have. And now that we're feeling better, let's go get another arrow and smite again. Let's go get another arrow and pray again and fast again. Oh, I wish I could somehow reach somebody here tonight. I know you're tired. I know you're hot. I know you're hungry. I know you're waiting for a concert. But there's a moment right here. Somebody can move into your destiny if somehow you could stir something up in you to go the 4th time, the 5th time, the 6th time, until you got no more arrows. Then thou shalt utterly consume the Syrians. Oh, God, it's not going to happen just because it says it's going to happen. The promises that God gave you personally aren't going to happen just because He said it. A lot depends on how you respond. Would you get a hold of somebody nearby you? And would you ask God to revive a passion and a stirring? God is wanting to stir us to a higher level of zeal, and everything in the world and our flesh and the devil is against it. He got my mind. Oh God, there's a move of God waiting for somebody. He Oh God, you don't feel pressure. You apply it. Oh God. You may be seated. We're going to do that some more. The Bible tells us to stir up the gift that's within us. Peter said, I preached you some things you already know, but I want you to be reminded to stir you up. Stir you up. But you and I can't be stirred unless we're willing to be stirred. If you're not willing to be stirred, it doesn't matter if Jesus was preaching here in the flesh. He'll never make you do anything you're not willing to do. In order to get stirred, you've got to be willing to come out of a comfort zone. You've got to be willing to lay some pride down. You've got to be willing to just become what God really wants you to become. You must decrease. He must increase. In this move, all kind of things begin to happen negatively. While these people are getting the Holy Ghost and things are happening, other things. We had one lady who was raised in Pentecost, that lived in our area for about 15, maybe 18 years. I knew she was in the area. She was raised UPC. But her entire adult life almost, she spent outside of the grace of God. Her parents had been praying and praying. It did not look possible. But one Sunday, back in May, she came to church. Spent the whole time weeping and crying. Came the next Sunday. Came the next Sunday and then came back that Sunday night. And that Sunday night she re-prayed through and got renewed the power of God. She made instant changes. She knows. Backsliders know what the deal is. You don't have to spend 6 months in a Christian development course. You got an instant saint if they really want to live for God. But all kind of negative things are how basement, our church got flooded out from three different locations on three different times. Amen. Water started coming in the roof and it wasn't even raining. Of our sanctuary right over the pulpit. Bunch of other stuff I don't have time. But there was pressure. Because you can't get stirred up without stirring something up. When you get stirred up, He gets stirred up. That's why some people don't get stirred up, because they know it's going to stir Him up. But if you don't get stirred up, amen, He's going to bury you right where you are. You don't have a choice. He's going to kill you or you're going to have to fight. When David and Goliath met, they each said they were going to kill each other and feed each other to birds. Somebody wasn't going home that night. And you know what? Somebody ain't going home. Your devil ain't going home or you ain't going home. If you don't want to fight, He'll just come kill you. But if you fight the good fight of faith and put another arrow in that bow, and by trusting faith in God, shoot that arrow as long and far as hard as you can, you might see an anointing come on your life. Oh, I wish I could reach down inside some young preacher and get you to the place that you'd be willing to do anything, say anything, go anywhere, be whatever God wants you to be. Quit worrying about popularity. Quit worrying about what people think about you. And get in the Spirit and do what God's calling you to do. He wants to give you an utter and total victory. We're too worried about what He's going to say, what they're going to say. How's that going to affect my standing? I won't be able to get elected. We need to forget about all of that. And we need to get a hold of God and start getting back to the basics of prayer and fasting and worship. Let me tell you something. When the enemy's trying to put pressure on you, what you're doing right now is not healing pressure. It's applying pressure. Have a seat. Every time you get up and shout, you're applying pressure. Every time you get up and say amen, you're applying pressure. You weren't designed to feel it. You were designed to put it on the devil. You were designed to apply it. Amen. Paul said it this way. He said, I press toward the mark. I'm going to put some pressure on this thing. I'm not going to feel it. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to press toward that mark. It's time he starts feeling it and we quit feeling it. Come on, somebody. When you clap your hands, you're putting pressure on it. When you bow your knee, you're putting pressure on it. When you shout hallelujah, it's time to apply some pressure. You can't apply pressure being weak-kneed and Laodicean and half-hearted and talking while the preacher's going on. You need to get your hands up, your voice going. You need to get your heart going. You need to start smiting the ground. Oh, somebody shout yes. Somebody say I. I'm going to stop feeling pressure. I am going to apply pressure. The only way you have to feel pressure is when you don't put any pressure on the devil. When you hunker down, give in, feel sorry for yourself. He just heaps it on. He just piles it on. But when you get up and say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I've been buried in the name of Jesus. I am somebody. And I got a God that's on my side. I'm going to put the pressure on you in the name of Jesus.
Somebody shout that name, Jesus! The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They don't get a cattle into it. They don't just waltz into it. We need some running going on. We need a running spirit. We need a smighty spirit. Nobody should ever have to beg us to worship God. Nobody should have to say, come on, let's all raise our hands. Come on, let's all praise the Lord. Come on, folks, let's all clap our hands. You ought to come into the house of God with your hands up, your voice going. Nobody should have to beg you. Come on, Joash. It's your moment. What are you going to do with it? Come on, preacher's wife. We need your help. We need your help. We need you praying. We need you preaching. Oh, preaching, you don't know what I've been going through. You're feeling too much pressure. You're not applying enough pressure. You start applying it. You start putting it on and you'll feel a whole lot less of it. So we had a lady saw one of our ads and slip over. Let me sit down here next to the tire. I need a water break. Said, frequent water breaks. Frequent. And you know what? We need a water break right now. And let's take time out for a water break. Everybody lift your hands and start talking in tongues. Take a break. Put a smile on your face. Some of you look miserable. Just get happy about it. Drink some water. Get your electrolytes working. Take a water break. It'll take care of that headache. It'll take care of that backache. It'll take care of that pressure. It'll revive you. It'll revive you. It'll help your spiritual metabolism. You'll be energized. You'll be able to put some pressure on the pressure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Am I making any sense? Thank God.
Hey.
Oh, if you got the Holy Ghost, I see some looks. I'm seeing some looks out there like this. That kind of look is not going to fulfill your destiny. That vacant look, that dead look, that disconnected look, that like, so what look? So what? I'll tell you what. The Syrians are breaking into the camp. That's what. God is wanting to help us. He cannot help us if we don't respond appropriately to the moment. It's not time for less prayer meetings. It's time for more prayer meetings. It's not time for less worship. It's time for more worship. When you don't feel like worshiping, that's when you ought to be your greatest at it. When you don't feel like praying, that's when you ought to be at your very best. Because the reason you don't feel like it is because the Syrians are putting pressure on you to neutralize you. And it's time to get an arrow and shoot it and smite again. Water break. You don't feel it. Apply it. You may be seated. I wonder if there what the reasons were that Joash stopped. I'm trying to hurry a little. He probably said, well, that's enough. Don't you think a little voice inside him said, that's enough. The option was left with me, just said smite, so three. That's not bad. That's enough. And then how we get little prayer meeting, that's enough. Little praise, ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki, that's enough. Hallelujah, that's enough. Our soul winning is
mostly wrapped up in talking to relatives that have heard 35,000 times. Oh, I want to tell you this. One of the ladies that came to our church, I don't think she's got the Holy Ghost yet. But she saw an ad in the paper. And when she saw the ad, she said the Lord spoke to her and said, that's the church where you need to go. We're 30 miles away from where she lives. She came to church. And she shared this story. That about a year ago, her friend brought her to a church. It was a midweek service, and she took her to this church, and she just loved that church. And she said, this is the kind of church I want to go to. It was raining that night. Her friend had since moved away, and she could not remember how to get to that church. But when she saw her ad, and she came to church, and she walked into the building, she said, this is the church I was in that she had been in a year ago, but didn't know how to find it. She got excited. She's been going from church to church to church to church until she got to our church. And her husband just kind of let her do that. And when she got home that night, that day, from that first Sunday morning she was in, her husband said, you cannot go to that church anymore. He didn't know our church. He'd never been to our church. He'd never said that to any other church where she went. But when she came back, he was angry. He said, you cannot go to that church. He took the car keys. He hid the keys. He wouldn't give her money to go anywhere. And she called us and told us what had happened. She was totally mystified. It was a pleasure to tell her why he was acting like that. The other churches didn't stir that devil up in him. But when he came, when she came to it, Jesus' name, one God, Holy Ghost talking in tongues, a church that was smiting the ground and wasn't asleep on the job, something stirred up in that guy. And he said, you will not go back to that church. Well, in the midweek service following, I told him the story. And I talked about some of the problems that we're having, how the devil was fighting because we're having this move of God. And we're going to pray right now over that woman. I told him the story and met this husband. So we prayed, we rebuked and cast out and bound and loosed. Did everything we could think of. Hope one of them would work. Amen. And that Sunday morning, I have a once a month pastor's reception for all the visitors for the previous month. And we serve them a luncheon after church that Sunday morning. We call that pastor's reception. Every other Sunday, there's a visitor's reception, and they get invited to the last Sunday of the month to this luncheon with me and our staff. And I was going around greeting people, and she shook my hand and identified herself as being this woman. I said, why, you're here? Praise the Lord. What happened? We prayed for you Thursday night. She said, right after Thursday night, I think it was Friday or maybe Saturday, my husband came to me and said, here's the keys. Here's some money. If you want to go to that church, it's okay. He's never been there. He has no idea what's going on, but God knows what's going on. Hello, somebody. But he needs somebody that will smite the ground and somebody that will do their part because we're laborers together with God. What a break. I'm talking to a Joash somewhere that God wants to bless your ministry. I'm talking about a Joash. I'm talking to a Joash young person that you're seeking God for His will and His anointing and His desires. You're going to have to smite. You're going to have to pay a price. Maybe he said, that's enough. That's good enough. So that whatever attitude, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, preacher, whatever. Every service you preach, Brother Colthart, all of us, there's a whatever spirit in there somewhere. Whatever, Pastor. Whatever. There you go again. Oh, they don't say it out loud. But those little voices, whatever. You're not making any sense. That's why I ask you guys, is this making any sense? Because that voice is saying, you ain't making no sense at all. whatever. You go to pray, you hear that voice, whatever. Any time you decide you're going to shoot an arrow, you're going to hear that voice, whatever. Like you're stupid. Like you're just a child. You think that's going to do any good? Whatever. But for every whatevers that are on a pew, there's three more feed me's. This says, preach it, pastor. But you don't hear those voices. The devil amplifies those whatever voices. And you're going to have to smite the ground with a voice speaking into your ear saying, it's not going to do any good. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to be successful. If that was true, where's Timothy? I saw you up there somewhere. Tim, where are you? Stand on up. I want to thank you publicly, number one, for picking me up at the airport, running me back and forth, listening to my running mouth, and being a good guy. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, you're going to have to smite the ground with voices saying, you'll never do nothing for God. If the devil, if that was true, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that? You're going to be a flop. You're going to be a failure. How many of you guys ever had that? Heard that voice there? Three or four of you? Is that all? You must not be doing much smiting. Because if you're a smiter, you're going to know what I'm talking about. How about you chicks over here? You ever hear that smiting thing? Telling you to be quiet, whatever, you ain't nobody? Can I get an amen? If that was true, why would Satan be trying so hard to convince you of it? Why not just leave you alone and let you be a flop? But since he's trying so hard to convince you it ain't gonna happen, that tells me I'm on the right track. Oh, somebody's not hearing what I'm saying. It's time for you to get up out of your weariness. Time for you to get up out of your depression. Time for you to get up out of your defeat and grab those arrows. God's saying, don't give up. Do it again. Do it again. Business as usual. Keep preaching. Keep praying. Keep believing. You're utterly going to consume. I rebuke that whatever spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we curse you. We plead the blood against you. Be gone. We are going to smite. We are going to pray. We are going to shout. We are going to witness. We are going to teach Bible studies. And we're going to see a mighty move of God. Somebody shout, I am going to see a mighty move of God in my life. You hear that, whatever? Do you hear that, whatever? I am going to see it. Because I'm going to smite. I'm going to pray. I want to keep my zeal and passion up. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. I've got to have a move of God. I've got to touch my city. I've got to be anointed. I've got to have miracles. I've got to see people get the Holy Ghost. I've got to. I'm tired of us foreign no more. I'm bored with old saints. I need some new ones. Sick of the same faces. Tell them the same thing. I need some new blood. And I want to have it. And I'm going to have it. And it's time for a big water break right now. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout I will go home
and start smiting. I'm going to start believing. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to talk in tongues every day. I'm going to start my day off with water, and I'm going to end my day with water. And I'm going to have frequent water breaks all through the day. At noon, I'm going to get by myself and go, Hakashi Tadanama Hakatai. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to take a water break and just have me a little mini revival right where I am. It'll take care of your headaches, your backaches. It'll take care of marriage problems. It'll take care of financial problems. It'll solve a whole lot of stuff if we just drink some more water. Come on, take another drink. Just take another drink. Just take another drink. Just take another drink. Just keep on drinking. Keep on drinking. Keep on drinking. You get drink enough of it, it'll turn into wine. You keep drinking enough of it, you're going to get a little tipsy. Amen. We got too many sober people. Leah, am I doing all right? All right. Maybe seated. Huh? He had arrogance and he had pride. I bet you he thought this was kind of childish. Smite the ground. Poor old man. He's losing it. He's just losing it. I have to get that excited. Come on. Sounds a lot like a whatever spirit to me. No sense to get. I used to get like that. And used to have victories too. Notice the correlation. Used to get like that. Used to have victory. Notice how that connects. Oh, I used to do that when I was young. Yeah, Caleb did it when he was old. Smite the ground. Maybe. Just maybe he had some friends that lived in Syria. If I really get with it, some things are going to have to die. Got some friends. If I really start smiting the ground, that might affect some of the friends in my life. Friends I shouldn't have. Things I shouldn't be doing. Hello. Things I've been thinking, things I've been looking at, things that have crept in my life. If I really get with the program, I'll have to kill the Syrians in my own life. That's what keeps a lot of people from really being where they need to be. Because between them and where they need to be, they're friendly with some Syrians that have got to die. And they're standing between them and their victory. Their gossiping spirit, their backbiting spirit, their anger spirit, their gossiping spirit, their lustful spirit, their internet spirit, things that creep in, little Syrians that don't belong in Israel crept into their lives. And if they keep smiting, if I really keep going like this, I'm going to kill some of those things. That's exactly right. And in order for me to be where I need to be and to get where I need to get to, there are some things that are going to have to die. Some attitudes, some pride, some arrogance that's going to have to die. He must increase. I must decrease. It's worth the price. It's worth the price. If you just make up your mind, I'll pay the price. I'll keep fighting because I want to have victory in my life. That Syrian's going to end up killing you anyway. I'm getting close. Only 14 more pages to go. He was angry with his lack of faith. He was angry with his lack of zeal. He was angry with his lack of obedience. He saw an opportunity for Israel. And Joash let it slip right through his fingers. Slip right through his fingers. He had a responsibility. People were depending on him. We have problems with Syria today because Joash let that victory slip through his fingers. He was supposed to kill every last one of them. But they say Saddam Hussein is hiding, perhaps, in Syria. And what if Joash had not let that victory slip through his fingers?
People are depending on us. There's people's lives that are depending on us. It's not an optional thing, ladies and gentlemen. There's an absolute call and necessity for every one of us to step up to the spiritual plate. Well, I've been in this 40 years. You ought to be the best one at it. I've been around longer than you. I know. So what? The point is, do you want all that God has for you? Or do you want to settle for something less? Now, the antithesis of that is when Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, if we always pray, take frequent water breaks, start our day off with water and end our day with water, and take frequent breaks in between, we won't faint. Lack of water can cause physical fatigue. Lack of spiritual water can make you feel just wore out. Oh, I'm just so tired. You start talking in tongues a little bit. And you start letting that water move a little bit. Suddenly you don't feel so tired anymore. A little get up and go starts going. Amen. And just us feeling better this week is not enough. Because if we don't start smiting, we're going to slip right back from the pit that God pulled us out of this week. The reason we were in it, it's because we weren't smiting like we should. And we weren't drinking like we should. Praise the Lord. Can you give me just another hour? Okay. How about 5 minutes? I've already said all that. When Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, the Amplified there says to not turn coward or lose heart or give up. If you pray, not, dear Lord, can't think of anything else to say, Lord. I mean, I'm talking about real prayer. Getting a hold of God prayer. You won't turn coward. You won't lose heart. You won't give up. The Greek there for faint means to be afraid, to become discouraged, weary, or tired, or to despair. Despair and weariness comes from a lack of personal prayer. If I'll just pray, I won't get weary. I won't become afraid. I won't get discouraged. I won't despair. And I'm not preaching from the standpoint of someone who has not experienced dark, dark days. But I also know what brought me out of it. It wasn't a doctor. It was getting back to that prayer life. Right now, the Holy Ghost is convicting many people of your prayer life. That closet that hasn't really been visited too much lately. Why is my back hurting? Why am I feeling stiff? Why is my head hurt? Why are all these things happening? Not enough water. If you'll go back to that prayer life, you might start seeing some things straighten. I hope I'm not offending anybody here tonight. I wonder if I could get a witness. How many feel like God's talking to you about your prayer life? Would you raise your hand if you feel like... Is God rebuking us? No, He's inviting us. He's saying, come on to me. Come to me. Rush to me. Seek me. Let me bless you. Let me strengthen you. Don't go without me. Go with me. And when that man said in the King James, lest she weary me, I'll answer her. The Amplified there says, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by continual coming. At the last, she'd come and rail on me and assault me and strangle me. She was smiting, and she wouldn't quit smiting. And that guy got scared. She's going to kill me, man. I'm going to give her what she wants. And we don't have a God like that. But if that kind of smiting can get that kind of guy to give her what she needed and what she wanted, how much more with a loving God that's on your side, that loves you and cares about you? He just wants you to stir up and mean it a little bit. He just wants you to decide it really matters to you. If you can live without it, you'll live without it. But if you can't live without it, you won't live without it. And you can have what it is you need. But if you have a whatever spirit, whatever, you're going to sit in your whatever for a long time. It becomes a spiritual prison. And it's all boring. All right. Joy, you still watching? Hang with me. That's my daughter. One of my email lessons I'm teaching right now is the greatest insult to God. What is the greatest insult to God? I promise you I'm closing. Was it Brother Johnson closed 3 or 4 times last night? I'll probably only close 2 or 3, all right? What do you think the greatest insult to God would be? Think about who He spoke the harshest to. Who turned Him off the most? I'll tell you. Ananias and Sapphira turned Him off pretty good. Yes, sir. They turned Him off. He turned them off. Off. Pull that plug. They've been on life support too long. Plop. Now, he was mad. He was insulted. Everything okay? All right. Did you have to stop to see Bush or something? Tell him we said hi. We prayed for him tonight. All right. All right. I don't care. I almost followed you. Amen. What was I talking about? Oh, this insult. What do you think? Can you think of somebody God said, "You make me sick. You make me want to throw up. I wish you were hot or cold. If you were cold, I could work on you and convict you and make you want to be hot. If you were hot, I could bless you and use you and do something with you. But you've got this lukewarmness about you. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're whatever. You're just stuck." They were indifferent. We have need of nothing. I don't have any needs. I'm rich, priest with goods. I have need of zip. Total spiritual indifference. It made God sick. It insulted God that they could be so ambivalent, unmoved, indifferent, same old, same old. God said, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." And he was on the outside of a Jesus name, one God church, knocking on the outside, trying to get in. How many times has God knocked on our door? "Come on, really let me in. Will you? Come on. Just really let me into your life. Let me interact with you." "Oh, no, I'm sorry, Lord. I got too much to do." Indifference, it insults him. If you had gone out to see Bush and he was standing there and you said you were in a conversation and just completely and totally ignored him, that would be very ignorant. He would need the respect to his office, and you would give him that respect. You would not be indifferent. Would it kind of insult him? Have you ever shaken somebody's hand and they're looking at somebody else? Boy, oh, I hate that. Looking for somebody better than you. They're so indifferent to you. I feel like taking their hand and just breaking their fingers when they do that.
Hey, look at me. You're shaking my hand now. Don't be looking over there. Or don't shake my hand. Don't be indifferent. It's insulting. And Jesus Christ is standing in here tonight. And He wants to know how we really feel about it. It's not what happens in here that counts. It's what happens in our personal lives. How we take this and apply it or don't apply it is going to determine the course of our lives. So we come to this plight that Israel was in. Sennacherib had desecrated their God. He had threatened their lives. He was a marauder, a destroyer. And he was now telling Hezekiah, I'm doing all this to give you hope. And now he's threatening them. You ever felt threatened by the enemy? Have you ever felt like things were in such a place where if the wrong thing happened, the whole deck of cards would fall down? Oh, that's a scary place to be. And he sends an emissary to the prophet Isaiah. And he says these words, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth. There's not strength to bring forth. It was a saying of a very difficult time of a mother that's now ready to give birth to her child. Ladies, think about it. The strength that has to be expended, the energy that it takes. That woman has got to cooperate. She's got her part to do. And if she lacks the strength to do it, terrible things can happen. And so Hezekiah is expressing that their plight was like a woman who's gone full term. Labor has begun, but she can't do her part. She's weak. There's several things that can happen in a child birth process when the child is not coming forth like it should. It's called a failure to progress. There's several reasons for it. Number one, it could be an unusually large child. It could stop this process and cause a failure to progress. It could be that the baby's not in the right position. Breech, I believe it's called, or any other improper position, and there's a failure to progress. The baby can't come. Perhaps the uterus is not contracting as it should. There's a failure to progress. And then there can be a failure to progress for no specific reason. It just ain't happening. Today, the doctors can respond to that. They'll immediately give a woman, if they haven't already, hook her up to intravenous to not allow her to be dehydrated because of the expending of energy and this process. She can become dehydrated very, very quickly, which is a danger to her and the baby. They can give a woman in a case like this a medicine called oxytocin. It promotes contractions medically. It promotes contractions. It forces the body to do what, for whatever reason, is not happening. Or, radical possibility to fix this problem is to give a woman a cesarean birth to open her up and take that baby. But back in Bible days, there was no intravenous. There was no oxytocin. There was no cesarean procedure.
one of two things would happen. The mother could hemorrhage to death and die, and it happened often. And the baby, who's now burst from that water world and is in the birth canal, but can't get all the way, will suffocate and die. And so with a failure to progress in a situation like Hezekiah is talking about, it could cause the life to end of the mother, and it could cause the life of the baby to die. Surely the parallel is clear. The word strength, there is no strength to bring forth, comes from a Hebrew word which means vigor. There was no vigor. There was no that whatever you can, vigor. It's just kind of blah. A blah spirit. And a blah spirit with no oomph, with no energy, could cause this failure to progress, and the mother could die, and the baby could die too. And we are in a day of trouble. And a day of blasphemy. And all you have to do is take a look out your window and see a world that's on its way to judgment and having a good time on the trip. And my son just got back from headquarters tonight, and he told me this afternoon on the phone, he's working on some projects or something out there, and he told me that headquarters is expecting a very low crowd to Toronto. And I said, is it because of the SARS or whatever? And he didn't know, but I think that might be part of it. And who was it that pointed out the other night that the gays aren't afraid of SARS? Of course, they're not afraid of AIDS either. Why should they be afraid of SARS? And they're flocking to Toronto to get married to Bill and Frank. I, Bill, take you, Frank, to be my wedded husband. Then there's apostolic gays. Have you heard of that? They call themselves apostolic. I wonder who wears the pants in that family. And they believe in holiness standards, you know. So I wonder if one of them doesn't cut their hair. Whatever. I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know how to explain that. You know, the Bible says in the Genesis, when those gay, I don't know, gay is not the right word. Gay says happiness. Gay says marry. It doesn't work for me. Queer works better for me. Pervert. Homo. Sorry. Gay is too gay. Doesn't work. But the Bible says there, when the men of Lot wanted to know those angels, and that doesn't mean shake their hands and get to know them. In the biblical sense, they wanted to know them. And the angels smote them blind. Now, I'll tell you what. If I was smitten blind, I'd say, I give up. Give me my sight back. I'd quit right then. But the Bible says, it didn't stop them one little bit. The Bible says they wearied themselves trying to find the door. You know what they were doing? They were smiting for their cause. And they didn't care they were blind. They didn't care they were maimed. They didn't care they'd never see a sunrise. They didn't care they'd never see a sunset. What they wanted to do was a perverse act with a visitor. And they wore themselves out trying to find the door. And here we are with a real cause, with a real destiny. And we'll quit looking for the door at the slightest hindrance. When God is saying, could you just be as excited about me as the queers are about each other? They're not ashamed to be gay. They'll have parades. They'll lobby Congress. And we're just, oh, I'm Pentecostal. Praise the Lord. Why don't we come out of our closet?
Don't you think it's time for you to come out of your closet with a handful of arrows and a zeal and a desire to do something from God? For Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not ashamed of who you are, and you're not ashamed of whose you are, why don't you shout amen? Clap your hands. Worship God. Take a water break. Let's all stand. Come on, talk in tongues a little bit right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're any kind of man or woman of God, God has impregnated you with a desire to give birth to a move of God. It works on you. If it bugs you when you're not seeing what you want to see, it's that baby turning on the inside. I got to have this baby. I got to have this move of God. If you're not satisfied with what you've got, Brother Baker, he's got a fabulous church. I had the privilege of preaching there a time or two. And full building. He's getting ready to build another building. And your vision is to fill that new building. You're getting ready to build a building. God wants you. You're pregnant with desire. You're pregnant with a birth that has to be brought forth. There's got to be some prayer. There's got to be some agony at the altar. There's got to be a birthing process. But what if you lost some of that oomph and vigor? And you let the devil neutralize you. And you became sort of passive. And you've got this baby. It's going to fail to progress. The revival God wants to give you is going to stop right there because you're so vitally important. Push. Push. God, you can do it. I know you can do it. And in order to push, you've got to smite. You've got to try. You've got to try again. You've got to pray. Give birth. This move of God. But if you don't, there's no oxytocin for you. If you don't, there's no cesarean for you. If you don't, there's no intravenous. There's no intravenous. You're going to start bleeding. You're going to start dying. You're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And your revival is going to die. So many people are depending on us not to let the moment slip through our fingers. There's babies waiting to get born. There's backsliders ready to get born. There's new people ready to be born. And God needs a church with some vigor. That when the pastor says these are brand new people, they need the Holy Ghost, the church just says, start chewing gum and talk and say whatever. They got somebody to pray with them, but the church goes into action. Prayer action. Worship action. How a new convert's going to get with it if the church doesn't get with it? A dead church cannot revive a dead world. A dead church will not attract the dead world. It's going to take a church with vigor. It's going to take preachers with vigor. It's going to take preachers' wives with some old time Holy Ghost vigor and prayer. In Jesus' name. Know how to worship. Praise God and get a hold of God until there's another one born. And five more last night. Three more this Sunday, and another Bible study, and a little counseling, and Christian development class, and going back on the streets. I printed up a bunch of that advertisement in the newspaper, and we made tracks out of them. And one of the ladies in my church called me today and said, Pastor, I hope you don't mind. Last night, I took all the tracks that she had printed up, and me and seven other people are going out Saturday, going to knock on doors and pass out those tracks. I didn't ask her to do that. I never said we're going to have this special day and pass out. She just decided. She's one of our finest Bible study teachers. She teaches one of our Christian development classes. She's pregnant and she wants to give birth. And she wants to give birth again. And she wants to give birth again. and she's got vigor and she's got zeal. She doesn't need somebody to beg her to witness. She doesn't need somebody to push her to witness. She said, Pastor, I took all the tracts. I don't know how much they cost, but I took them all. And then she said, thank you. That was the end of the voicemail. Thank you, Brother Libby. As though she'd got my permission or whatever. I called her back and I said, you are welcome. Thank you for being a mother that's got some vigor. When was the last time you were in a personal prayer meeting and you gave birth to a new move of God in your life? Gave birth to a new move of God in your church. And so the children have come to the birth and there's no strength to bring forth. Weak, sick, lukewarm, half-hearted church in a world that's begging for revival. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Where are those hands of people that said God was talking to them about their prayer life? Can I see those hands again? You know why God's talking to you? He's saying it's time to go into labor. It's time to smite the ground. Brother Williford, does this make any sense here tonight? And somebody tonight is going to say, I'm going to give birth if it kills me. And if you don't give birth, it's going to kill you. The only way to live is take it to the end. Ladies, it almost killed you. But if you hadn't done it, you'd have definitely been dead. But by giving it all you had, you saved your baby and you saved yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't try, you're going to die. But if you'll give it all you have, you'll save your baby and you'll save yourself. And people are being called right now. God's calling you to a higher level of smiting. He's calling somebody to not just leave here saying, well, I feel better. Every preacher made me feel good. That's good. But he wants you to leave. Not only do I feel better, but I feel invigorated to start a prayer life, to start a fasting, to start a witnessing. I'm going to turn things around in my local church. I'm going to be the best shouter my pastor's got. I'm going to be the best amener. I'm going to be the first to come, the last to leave. Is there anybody in here that'd like to take on that kind of posture in your thinking? Guys, see some hands. Wave your hands right now. Joash, you could have more, but you just wouldn't smite the ground. Would everybody lift your hands right now and praise Him with a very loud voice right now? If you really mean business, who is it that God has called? Who's willing to step up to the plate? Who's willing to say, I'm not going back to the same old, same old? I'm going to start smiting like I've never smitten before. Now that I'm feeling better.